Why are police photographing our license plates?
What are we doing for veterans returning home damaged physically and mentally, suffering from depression, homelessness, and suicide?
Why did the Supreme Court deposit corporate money into our electoral process?
Should we redefine middle class as working poor? Or is it just another Wall Street merger?
What's really behind new voter picture ID laws in certain states?
Why aren't NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox asking these questions?
Welcome to The Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio. I'm Marcello Rolando. The mission of The Reasonable Voice is to connect the dots between politics and finance, the need for better and more affordable education, our humanity, world peace, and of course, the arts, which we then gladly provide our listeners, the voting public, as informative food for thought to provoke their self-determination and appetite for equal opportunity. The Reasonable Voices are advocates prioritizing education, preserving our history, leading by example for a peaceful and prosperous world by evoking and embracing the creative artist and political unity as solutions to our challenges.
Good afternoon. This is the Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio. And I have three guests today, but in the first section, we're going to talk with two ladies. One is Kristen Twyford. Is that correct, Kristen?
Twyford, yes, that's
right. Twyford, and she is the communications coordinator for the Virginia Institute of Autism, that's VIA. And also on the line, we're talking to Emily Callahan, PhD, who is the director of the Outpatient Behavioral Services. Emily and Kristen, how are you today?
Doing well, thank you.
Good.
Thank you for having us.
My pleasure. Emily, I wonder if we could start off with defining what autism is. We hear the word all the time. Some people think they know what it is, but can you explain what is autism?
Yes. So in short, autism is a lifelong developmental disability affecting three primary areas of development, and those include communication skills, social interaction skills, and ritualistic and repetitive behaviors. So individuals on the autism spectrum typically have difficulties in three of those areas.
Okay. And this can affect children, teens, and adults, yes?
That is correct. So I guess it's a lifelong developmental disability. It's typically identified early in development. So I think the average age of diagnosis in the state of Virginia is just under age 5. But so it's identified early, but it's a lifelong disorder.
Okay. Thank you. And Kristen, we are talking today because on April 18th, that's Saturday, April 18th, in Charlottesville, Virginia, you will have a Run for Autism 5K. It's a big fundraiser, I understand. What's coming, what's happening, what's special, what's different about it this year?
Sure. What's different about it this year is that we grew so much last year, and mm-hmm. we're really getting excited about another big growth this year. So last year we had 1,200 runners. We're hoping to have 1,500 this year. We raised $100,000 for VIA last year.
Wow.
And we're hoping to raise $115,000 this year.
Excellent.
And there's a lot new for the participants as well. We have tip timing this year, which is great for people who are really serious about running. It gives you their exact time. And then we're changing our course a little bit to make sure that everybody has room to run. And we're adding pace groups so that you can run with people who are the same speed as you. So if you're a walker, you'll be in the walkers group. And then, you know, if you need to be at the very front of the line, we'll make sure that you're there and can get out ahead of everybody.
You know, you've answered about my next four questions.
Oh.
I was going to ask you, what is chip timing? But I think you covered that. Serious runners, chip timing. I love it. What's happening at Ben & Jerry's on April 14th?
Wonderful tradition that Ben & Jerry's holds for us. They hand out free cones all day from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. And you can come and get your free ice cream of your choice. And then any donations that we collect go directly to VIA. So it's really amazing that Ben & Jerry's reaches out to us with this every year. And the community just comes out in droves. It's incredible.
Wow. That really is. And again, to remind everyone, this is taking place in Charlottesville, Virginia. The Free Cone Day is April 14th, and the Run for Autism 5K, and yes, that K still means what it always has, is Saturday, April 18th. But we've got all levels of running, including walking, which sounds like something I'll do. And and we're hoping to go from 1,200 runners to 1,500 this year and raise, how much more? Was it 150,000, you said?
115,000, that's right. We'd love to get 125,000.
Okay.
So we're excited to see what the community can do.
Well, it seems that as you were talking about last year, 2014, there was a tremendous amount of community support, and it's had a great impact, a very positive impact, on your three programs, your three primary programs at VIA. Can you tell us a bit about that, Kristen?
Sure. The 5K was just such a huge success, and our community just came out not only for the 5K, but throughout the year to support VIA. And we were able to move into an additional facility. So we already have a facility for our school, and then we were able to expand all three of our programs, our school, our outpatient behavioral services, and our adult services by adding on an additional facility. Emily's program and our adult services program both moved into this new facility thanks to our community.
Wow. Emily, can you tell us about them? And you've got this new facility now. That's for the outpatient behavioral services?
That is correct, yep.
Well, tell us about the new facility and what's it like to have that available. I guess it removed a number of people off a waiting list, yes?
Phenomenal for us. Since moving into this new facility, we've been able to hire an additional 4 experts on staff,
Wow. And
we've been able to get over 20 more families off of our wait list. So we've really been able to expand the reach of our services, and we've been able to expand the expertise that we have on staff. We're really touching more lives and really impacting more families throughout the area. It's been phenomenal.
Fantastic. I loved something you sent me as part of my research. But I love this line. I just want to say it, and then you talk to me about it, Kristen or Emily or both. You provide services across the autism spectrum, across the lifespan, and across the state of Virginia. It's a simple phrase, but it really encapsulates, I think, what you guys are all about, VIA, and it's so profound. Can we talk about that a bit?
Sure, yeah. So something I didn't mention before when you asked me about autism is that there's a saying, and it goes, you know, when you've met one individual with autism, you've met one individual with autism.
Uh-huh.
And that saying is there because the presentation in everybody is different. You can have individuals who never develop spoken language. You can have individuals who have cognitive abilities and language abilities far beyond anything I could ever imagine.
Yes.
So there's a huge spectrum of need, and you need to individualize your treatment approaches and interventions to meet the needs of that individual. And so what we're trying to do, you know, through our school outpatient adult programs is really meet that spectrum of need. So we might, you know, in a day see one child who we're really just working on trying to identify pictures, and another individual working on some coping skills, anxiety, and how to make a friend. So through this expansion of services, we've really been able to expand the reach of our impact across the spectrum. And we've also been able to expand our service area as well. We have served families, you know, up to 2 hours away, and been able to do that through the support of the community and support of others in the area.
Excellent. You know, I'm very happy to hear you say that. I, for most of my adult life, lived in New York City as a soap opera actor and a theater director. And I mention that only because when my parents developed another mental illness, Alzheimer's, I had to come back from New York and take care of them. And in so doing, you know, friends said, well, you need something, you know, to keep you going. So I got a teaching job as in public school. I hadn't been in a public classroom since I'd been a student. But all that to say, my drama classes were, I guess, inviting as far as the administration was concerned, because I got students that other teachers had difficulty not exclusively, but I had drama classes, but what they would do would come to me and say, if there were behavioral challenges one way or the other, would you mind having them in your drama class? And we did marvelous things. All that to say, and maybe I don't want to take up all your time, but maybe we'll talk about some of those stories. But one that I wanted to ask you about, Emily, we had a seminar where professionals in the treatment of autism came to talk to the faculty. Well, between the administration making certain that every child's privacy was protected and the limitations in which, the people weren't, this is some time ago, but the professionals weren't talking as you are talking. You are saying it's such a spectrum. And I was one of those who raised his hand and said, why are we talking about these children like they're all the same? Because I had experiences. I started a morning news program, and one of the children with autism was a news anchor. You know what I mean? And I mean, not that he didn't need to be reined in, but what teenager doesn't periodically? But he was wonderful. And I mean, I wrote the script, but they did the news and they ran the cameras and everything. So, and at the other extreme, I had a student that wrote most of the time during my drama class. You just write. And I would tell them this and that, whatever. And one of the primary things you had to learn before doing any show was, what does every actor have to bring to a rehearsal? And nobody remembered, except this young lady who had autism, raised her hand, and I called on her, and she stood up, and I said, what's the answer? And she said, a script and a pencil, which, of course, was the answer. And she took a bow, everyone applauded, and it changed her relationship with every student in that school. So I know I went on and on about that. I was just so moved by what you're saying, because it comes in such different forms. Kristen, let's give you a chance to jump in. Tell us a little about the run. I don't want to get away from that, because that's what we want to make certain everyone understands is happening on April 18th. It's family friendly. And elaborate. What does that mean?
Sure. We have a kids race that starts first. And that's really emotional to watch, because a lot of our students run and you can really see your impact. And I think the stories that you were just telling, you know, highlight the impact that this race can have.
Yes.
So to be able to watch the kids race and see these students run around the track, and we had one student who ran around the track fist pumping last year because she was so excited, and the whole community was just cheering her on, and to see these families really enjoy the race is just very heartwarming.
Mm.
And then after that, we'll start the 5K, and the whole community is really invited. You know, everyone's invited, walkers, runners, volunteers who, you know, might not want to run. You can actually run and volunteer, and we're definitely looking for people to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's really something for everyone.
So how does one register to either be a participant or volunteer or to be there as a spectator?
You can register to run or volunteer at runforautism5k.org, and you can also register in person on April 18th. So you just have to get there really early in the morning and register on the 18th. And then if you want to come and cheer people on, you don't have to register at all.
Uh-huh.
But we'd love to have help volunteering, and there's lots of, you know, easy volunteer jobs that you can come and help out just a little bit and then cheer people on during the race.
Okay, that sounds great. Emily, back to you for a bit. The outpatient services, as you say, it's a spectrum of age, crosses the gamut of age. That is, what is your early intervention? How early and for whom?
So early intervention typically refers to services prior to age 3. Right now, we have children age 2, 3, and 4 in our program. And what we know about autism intervention is that the earlier you can start, the better off you are and the better the outcomes you can see. So we really try to work with families who have young children to get them in soon, get them in with for intensive services, and really try to help make those gains, you know, sooner rather than later, and close those gaps between them and their developing peers.
That's excellent. Obviously, that, like everything else, the sooner we work with people and treatment and encourage, the sooner they'll get to inspire us, because they do. And the social skills support for teenagers, how does that work?
So, another thing, to meet the spectrum of need, one of the primary deficits of autism spectrum disorders is difficulties with social interaction skills. And so we offer social skills groups three times a year in the fall, spring, and summer, where we provide an opportunity for kids who don't need really intensive one-to-one services, but uh-huh. need an environment where they can practice and learn those social skills that are going to help them make friends in school, participate on a sports team, or further down the line, interview for a job and then hold down a job. Those things that some of us just pick up naturally,
yes.
that kids in the autism spectrum need to just be taught directly. And we do that through a lot of role play and modeling. And so, to get to your experience with drama, we use a lot of drama techniques when we do our social skills groups to allow that a natural
wow.
opportunity to practice with peers.
Well, I say this on the air, so I was so moved and changed as teacher and a director when I worked with these kids. Again, the stories, I want to hear more from you than from me, but the stories I could tell you, one other short one, a young man who was, whose brother was also in the same school and in a different class, and the difference in their physical size, you would never know they were brothers, except that they told me. In any case, I discovered if I could record what he had to say, sing rather, because he had a beautiful voice, I recorded the song several times and gave it to him, and he went home and he must have rehearsed, and when he came back, he knew the song. And surprising everyone, he had worked so hard, I gave him the most beautiful teenage girl in the show, walked out arm in arm, and she knew she had to lead him to the spot where they were going to sing, but she had his arm, and they walked out, and when the big wedding scene happened, he sang his heart out and brought down the house. So all
wow.
that to say, if there's anything I can do to help you in this as far as drama is concerned, just let me know. But back...
Oh, thank you.
Oh, yeah, because this is wow. Kristen, I always come back to you to get me back on track. Kristen, you are the communications director or coordinator, and you said something earlier about changing the course of the run. I know you said that was so that larger number of people could be involved, but where was the course and starting, and where is it starting this year, and where is it ending up? How's that?
Well, actually, it's just a very small change. So we're actually starting and ending right at the same place. We're just taking a different route because there was a really tight bridge that everyone tried to get over at the same time, and they had to take turns, and that just wasn't practical.
Yes.
So this year, we're still starting at Charlottesville High School, and we'll finish there as well. We'll have a big party at the end and hand out awards to everyone. The course is right in the neighborhood of our school, so you'll be right nearby, and it's, of course, kind of a hilly course, just like every course in Charlottesville,
sure.
but it's really a lot of fun.
And where is your school exactly?
Our school is located on Westwood Road.
Excellent.
It's kind of tucked in the neighborhood. Mm-hmm.
And about how many students?
We have 56 students now. We're at full capacity, so wow. we are serving as many students as we can.
So it must be quite an impressive ratio of the professional to student, yes, it sounds like, with 56?
Yes,
your
it
staff.
Is. I'd like to talk about that a little bit more.
Okay.
Yeah, so in the school program, all of the children are taught in a one-to-one ratio. So you imagine, you said there's a very impressive ratio of experts to
yes.
students in the program, much like our outpatient services as well, and adult program.
Excellent. All right, I tell you what, we're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back with both Kristen and Emily, but we're going to add a parent who has an autistic child or a child with autism, Ashley, and I've gotten Ashley's last name, but I'll know it by the time we get back from the break. Don't go away. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey. And now, another film rental discovery. Welcome to the Indie Film Minute. Roger is a man of intelligence and verbal acuity. As a child, his sister called him Roger Dodger for his mental abilities and the sharp wit that consistently got him into and out of trouble. Roger's in advertising. He makes it his job to make people feel miserable about themselves, their cars, and the clothes they wear. No one buys feeling good about their current condition, he says. I make them realize how miserable they are. His girlfriend and boss is his mental equal, but their affair is now over on her terms. Not something that Roger is used to. Roger's conflicted 16-year-old nephew, Nick, a young Jesse Eisenberg, shows up, having heard that his uncle is a ladies' man. Eager to become a man, Nick has questions only a man can answer. Roger as mentor is scary to behold, as he takes Nick out on the town with moral turpitude as a goal and a black heart to share. Roger Dodger is a tightly woven social satire with intricate dialogue and cynical observation of the game between the sexes. Men will blanch and women will be furious with Roger, but this cautionary tale of a despicable man is rewarding as wry and honest observation. Indie Film Minute. Not in theaters. Discovery through rental. Find us on the web at indiefilmminute.com.
Welcome back. This is the Reasonable Voice, Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Marcello Rolando, and on our second segment, we are adding Ashley Ausbrooks. Is that correct, Ashley?
That's correct.
Okay. Welcome to the show, Ashley. Ashley is
Thank you. Is
a parent with a child that has autism, and we're also still talking with the Virginia Institute of Autism's communications coordinator, Kristen Twyford. And so, Ashley, we've been talking about a lot of things, but one of the things we discussed that we knew you would have is stories of what it's like to be a parent of a child with autism. And first of all, that, and then how VIA has impacted your life. But first, when did you find out, and what did you have to go through alone?
Well, so I found out that Cole had autism when he was 20 months old. It's hard to, will be hard to tell you all that I had to go through in 20 minutes, but,
yes.
You know, initially, it's, honestly, it's devastating, and then you spend, you know, the next few years kind of trying to wrap your head around how your child's life is going to be different than what you thought it was going to be.
Yes. I imagine that's quite, as I told the ladies in the first segment, I had to take care of my parents the last 12 years of their life because they had Alzheimer's. And you think, I don't know how about you, but as a director of shows and things, I thought, frankly, I'd come back from New York and direct their lives on what it would be from then on and go back in 30 days. And, of course, 12 years later, it was wonderful, the feeling that the doctor said I gave them that additional 12 years. That's a wonderful thing. But it is challenging. And like you, I think I came to it not knowing what it was. I mean, I'd heard of Alzheimer's. I could intellectually define it, but I didn't.
Right.
I didn't know what I had to do, and it was you learn as you go. Is that the experience you had?
Yeah, absolutely. You sink or swim.
Yes,
what I
yes.
always say. It's a lot to take in. It's very challenging. You have to learn very quickly in order to help your child. But VIA has
yes.
helped tremendously. And we actually, I moved my family from Northern Virginia to Charlottesville so that Cole could attend VIA.
Ah, well, that speaks volumes.
Yes.
Kristen, when did you meet Ashley?
Ashley and I met soon after Cole started at VIA. I was new to VIA, and they were new to VIA, and we kind of started right around the same time.
How old is Cole?
Cole is 7.
Ah, see, there it is. Just, I know it's the reminder that this is about. Even though I was telling Emily and Kristen in the last segment about my experiences with children with autism, you still, when you hear a parent say it, an age or what, tell us, how life changed for you, Ashley, when you got to involved with VIA?
Well, we finally had peace of mind because the staff there, they're very well trained. They know what they're doing. They know how to improve his life, how to interact with him. Immediately, what we noticed is an increase in receptive language. Mm. And so we felt like in communication, which really is the basis for all learning.
Sure.
And so that was huge and just such a relief for us.
So you say you moved from Northern Virginia so you could be in Charlottesville close to the Institute?
Yes. Yeah. So we moved down and took a risk, basically, to try and get him placed at the school because we were so impressed with it and just felt like that it was the right place for a call.
Excellent.
So, yes, he has three other siblings. They are 3, 4, and 9. And so we all moved down here.
Very good. Tell me, I understand that you you ran the 5K for the first time last year?
Yes.
And how was
sure
that?
Did. It was wonderful. Wonderful. It was just so great to see all of that support. Honestly, when you walk in, it's overwhelming as a parent because it's so emotional, you know, just to see all those people out there rooting for our kids and to see some of the kids from VIA running. I mean, you really can't hold back tears.
And was Cole involved last year?
No, we did not bring Cole last year just because we weren't sure what to expect.
Sure.
Because it was our first time.
Sure.
But this year he is coming, and so are his siblings, so we're very excited.
Excellent. But you also, you besides running, you've started a team for fundraising for this
yes.
year's race, yes?
Yes, sir.
And how is that going, and how does one help you in this fundraising? How do we get in touch to give financial support?
Well, we have started a site, and we posted on Facebook, and we've emailed, you know, our friends and family. So I can pass along that information.
Sure.
And we're about halfway there.
Well,
for our goal, which is great.
What's your Facebook page?
It is Ashley Oz Books.
And we should spell that, I guess, AUSBROOKS?
That's correct.
And we go
That's
to
right. Facebook. And you can actually donate directly to Ashley's team on our website as well. So if you go to runforautism5k.org and then click on teams, you can select Ashley's team on there. So what's your team name, Ashley?
Honestly, I don't know my husband. I think it's Team Cole.
Team Cole. I think it is. Yeah.
Sounds
you,
good.
You'll see Team Cole in the rundown, and you can also look through all the teams and donate to the ones that you want to support, or you can make a general donation on runforautism5k.org as well.
Fantastic. And that's Cole, C-O-L-E. And once again, Kristen, if you don't mind, your website?
Sure. It's runforautism5k.org. So RUNFORAUTISM5K.org.
So, Kristen, how long have you been the communications coordinator at VIA?
About a year and a half.
Wow. And how, I imagine you are, I mean, things seem to be growing, so you must be enjoying being a part of all this growth, but especially in that time period that you've been there, it seems.
Yes, the growth has been incredible, and especially to do communications at a time of such growth is so exciting.
Yes.
There's always something going on. I go take pictures of the kids and get to share their stories, and so it's just so much fun to share all of the really wonderful successes that are coming out of VIA right now. It's just been a joy.
Fantastic. Talk to us about some of the corporations and other sponsorship. I realize that Ashley is... that you people like Ashley can parents like Ashley can form their teams and help fundraise, and we can help the team of our choice. But you also have corporate sponsors, yes? Let's talk
yes.
about some of that.
Sure, we have 22 corporate sponsors this year, which is a new record for us. It's just incredible to see businesses in the community reach out to us and want to support us, including our finish line sponsor, Three Penny Cafe. They're our top sponsor this year. And it's just really wonderful because so many of them, you know, we didn't even contact them. They reached out to us. So
uh-huh.
it's really neat to see people who may not even have a connection to autism
still want to give to this cause. And then we partner with Ragged Mountain Running Shop. Mark Lorenzoni plans our race. He's our race director.
Uh-huh.
And then they also sponsor the Kids Triple Crown. So our kids race is part of the Triple Crown series where kids can run several races in the community and then, you know, win prizes for that. So it's really neat to see the whole community come out. And the families really raise a ton of money for VIA, which is incredible to see, you know, families like the Osbrooks, you know, so grateful for their services that they want to give back to VIA in some way. So we have families raising hundreds and thousands of dollars. So it's just really neat to see all these people teaming up and working together to help the kids at VIA.
And you say when you say the finish line sponsored Three Penny Cafe, does that mean that's where the party is at the end?
We are thinking we'd like to have a party there. So more news to come on that.
Okay.
You know, I'll be going there to celebrate afterwards. So I think everybody else should join us. And they actually held our kickoff party, which was wonderful. We had a lot of families there and some of our sponsors. So, you know, any chance we get to all get together and celebrate the success of this event, you know, we'll take it.
Yes. And where you mentioned earlier, I think the last segment, that the children will receive awards. Where does that physically take place at the end?
That will be on the field at Charlottesville High School. So the kids will get their prizes there. Every kid will get a prize, but then they'll also get prizes for, you know, finisher prizes.
Sure.
For second and third. And that's for every age group in the 5K.
And you have how many people registered so far for this year's run?
We already have more than 400 people registered, and we raised more than $55,000. So we are really close to our halfway point, and I think that is going to keep climbing up very quickly.
Excellent. Ashley, you say you are bringing the entire family, including Cole, this year for the Run for Autism 5K.
Yeah.
Is he going to participate, or is he going to be a spectator cheering you on, or what?
Oh, no, he's going to run.
That's
it should be interesting.
Yeah, that's fantastic. The thing is, whatever we think, you know, sometimes people only see what they see rather than seeing with their heart and mind and the possibilities. But inside every child, regardless, they are so responsive to their surroundings, their environment, encouragement, applause, laughter. So I can just imagine you really are looking forward to sharing this with him.
Absolutely.
Wow. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, Kristen, I'm wondering if maybe we better give, let's just run through the dates again. We're not running out of time, but I want to make certain everybody hears this. This is happening in Charlottesville, Virginia. It starts at Charlottesville High School, and it's Saturday, April 18th. And I don't think, I'm sure this information is online, but I don't think we mentioned the start time, did we? No, yes, you did, but let's say it again.
Sure. It's at 7:30 a.m. That's when the kids' race kicks off, and the race is at 8 a.m. So it's an early start.
Yes, maybe that's why I didn't remember it. And one can register on the day of the race. And is there a fee involved?
There is, but we have early registration fees. So if you register early online at runforautism5k.org, you get a slight discount. So it's $25 for adults, $15 for kids, and then we have a $20 student registration. And then they'll all go up by $5 after the early registration period. So if you want to register that day, it'll be $30 for adults.
Okay. And how, I know you've said it was quite an attendance, 1,200 people. How do the demographics break down in that 1,200? And of course, hoping this year you'll have 1,500. What are, you know, do we get the gamut of Charlottesville? Do we get the counties coming in and being involved? The university? Who shows up to run?
Well, it's really a race for everyone, which I think is what makes it really special, because we have our kids race and we have children as young as 3 years old running around the track.
Wow.
And then we had, you know, people in their 70s running the race last year. Of course, the majority of people kind of fall in the middle range.
Sure.
but we still have those extremes on either end. So it's really something for the whole family. And then we actually have people coming not just from Charlottesville and Albemarle, but from all over Central Virginia and even from further away. So we have lots of people traveling for mm-hmm. this race, especially family members of our families that we serve and of our staff. People love this race, so they come from far and wide to run and to celebrate this autism awareness and this organization.
And some people love it enough to move here, to relocate, like you, right, Ashley?
That's right.
And the way you sound, it sounds like there's no regrets.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. This is...
No, never regret. I think we're just, more than anything, it's just joy and relief.
So I should know, actually. I lived in Great Falls for a while. How do you find the differences between Northern Virginia and, I always say to my wife when she complains about traffic, although it is picking up a bit on Route 29, I say, you call this traffic? Come join me on the Washington Beltway. But
so once you live up there, it's only uphill.
Yeah.
There, yeah. You'll never complain again.
Never again. Never again. And I still go back and forth occasionally. Mom and Dad are gone, but there are other medical issues in the family that take me back up to Northern Virginia and Maryland, that area, even Philadelphia, New York. And I have to say, when on my way back, when I turn that corner on South 29 and see the Blue Ridge Mountains for the first time, I go, okay, I can take this traffic.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's a lot, Charlottesville, in addition to its history and culture and great restaurants, there seems to be no small amount of medical professional assistance to families. And VIA, of course, is right at the top of that list, but there's strong support, UVA Medical, Martha Jefferson, Alzheimer's Association, so many. In general, either one of you ladies, Kristen or Ashley, how do you think we stack up, especially for the size of Charlottesville? People think Charlottesville is a huge city because it just flows right into Albemarle County, but it isn't. It's a small town. It's a college town.
Right.
So what do you think? Quite a place to live, huh?
What's really special about that community here in Charlottesville is that we here at VIA work with those other organizations to really make sure that we're providing the best services. So
excellent.
You get, the cutting-edge services that you would expect in a big city, but then at the same time, you feel like your service providers are part of your team.
Yes.
We work alongside our partners at, the UVA Hospital, and we work very closely with even the Curry School and the UVA Psychology Department, and then doctors and the schools and the community. So really there's a continuum of care, and we're all working together as a team to provide the best services.
Excellent. I think it's been absolute delight speaking with the three of you. My best to Emily, who couldn't stay for the second segment. But thank you, Ashley, for joining us, and your courage, your foresight, and, by the way, your leap of faith in every sense of that word to pick up and say, we're going to move to this new location and we're doing this for our child, and have other children in the family also being a part of that, and then finding such joy as well as medical, professional attention and services, and then take a part in it to give back. I mean, you've done it all, Ashley. You really have. You what a mom. What a person.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
And a great mom and a joy to be around.
Yes.
Oh, thank you so much.
So, Kristen, one more time, tell us how we can donate, how we can register as we go out. Take us out with that.
Sure. You can register to run and volunteer, and you can also donate all at runforautism5k.org. And then you can also join us on the day of the race, April 18th.
Excellent. Thank you so very much, ladies. This has been, The Reasonable Voice, Blog Talk Radio. I'm Marcello Rolando, your host. My last two guests, Ashley Ausbrooks, who is a parent of a child with autism. His name is Cole, C-O-L-E, and Cole has his own team. He's 7 years old, who will be a part of the Run for Autism 5K Saturday, April 18th in Charlottesville, Virginia. And we've been speaking also with Kristen Tyford, who is VIA's, that is Virginia Institute of Autism's Communications Coordinator, who has witnessed and been a part of, and I'm sure contributed heavily to, tremendous growth in the last year and a half she's been there. Thank you both ladies for being a part of the show, and I wish you all the very best. Bye now.
Thank you very much. Same to you.
All right, thank you. Bye now.
Bye. Bye.
Stay with us as we'll be right back with a final comment from The Reasonable Voice.
And now, another film rental discovery.
Welcome to the Indie Film Minute. The poster for Short Term 12 is enigmatic, telling us little about what's in store. In fact, this wonderful little film emerged from the South by Southwest Film Fest, where it won a Grand Jury Award. Sadly, it then garnered little follow-up fanfare. How can such a quiet pedigree earn a place on so many best-of-year lists by those in the know? Because it's surprisingly special. Brie Larson, watch her, ladies and gentlemen, she's going to be a star, leads a young and appealing cast in a deeply compassionate story of life in a troubled youth facility, where kids are housed when there is nowhere else to put them. They may remain there for up to 12 months or until they age out of juvenile detention or are otherwise claimed by the harsher world. The characters in this quiet little gem are deeply layered with nuance, each one with a burning history simmering at the core. As the layers peel away, secrets are shared by inmates and counselors alike. In the end, Short Term 12 is a simple tale perfectly told. We meet characters we like, we laugh with them, we cry with them, we carry them with us, and we are better for their presence. Short Term 12. Not in theaters. Discovery through rental.
I'm Marcello Rolando, here with my pets and pet peeves, hoping you'll join me in a wake-up cup of coffee. Maybe what Congress doesn't know is hurting us. Do you know what our 100 senators and 435 representatives know about running the government, the country, foreign policy, and domestic programs? Did you know that whether elected to the Senate or House of Representatives, you are by law a member of Congress, and therefore, whether a congressman or a congresswoman or a congressperson, you are responsible to all Americans, not just your state or district? Do you know or have any idea of the educational background, the previous employment history, or qualifications of the individuals you elected to Congress? Maybe corporate corporation is not as dangerous to America as what members of Congress and those who elect them don't know. Maybe what Congress doesn't know is destroying the ozone layer, the Gulf, urban communities, public education, infrastructure, poor people, the middle class, underserved children, national defense, international trade using TPP, food and water safety, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, the very air we breathe. Maybe there is a growing level of ineptitude in Congress, so much so that what they don't know is killing us. Maybe wisdom comes to us when we rise up and walk in both individual and collective pursuit of justice for all, through knowledge, questioning authority, civil discourse, intelligent communication, deductive reasoning, investigation of and research into the facts, and the greatest of these, listening and thinking for oneself. Maybe it's not the rush of a cruise line or even the canter-spike tea club of politicians for profit, let alone a Rand delusion. Maybe it's the underinformed who give value through ovations for those who know too little of the golden rule of our Constitution. Maybe Sarah Palin is right. Jesus did celebrate Easter many times during his lifetime. Maybe for America, we need more constitutional lawyers in Congress and fewer millionaires, and more requirements to serve than being a 25-year-old American citizen with or without a high school diploma.
Thank you for continuing to listen to, support, and share the Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio with family and friends, especially online. We enjoy hearing from you, and in response, yes, we are now accepting new company and business advertisers and welcoming organizations seeking to be one of our sponsors. So please do continue to email us at thereasonablevoice@gmail.com. However, if you prefer to simply make a donation, your donations are greatly appreciated and can be made through PayPal by clicking on the donate button found at the top of the homepage of the Reasonable Voice. Voice.com website.
Thank you for joining us today to make every day as reasonable as possible. We hope you will download and share our downloadable podcasts. I am Marcello Rolando, the Reasonable Voice, hoping you will become one of the reasonable voices heard around the world.